Hi, welcome to episode 6. I am your host, Shannon Glenn. Today, I'm really excited to share with you our episode. You know, I decided to start this podcast a little while ago, and I really want it to be something that, you know, anybody who is listening would enjoy focusing on, you know, probably some parenting stuff, obviously some sleep stuff, given what we do here at Sleep Well, offering sleep services to people. But I also wanted it to be enriching. And so I put out a message to everyone. Hey, I'm looking for people to come on and talk to me, share your time, talent, whatever. And I was so excited for today's guest to raise her hand and say, hey, I'll talk. Today I get to speak with Christine Pedersen. I met Christine, it's been quite a few years. I want to say maybe 5 years ago. I was lucky enough to be her sleep specialist for her first child. I was able to help her daughter find better sleep. And that established a connection. And now, all these years later, Christine and I are colleagues. Christine is also a pediatric sleep specialist. She also sees adults as well. And she offers her sleep services up in Northern Idaho and also all over the country. And she has recently gotten into mindful parenting, and she has put together a mindful parenting course for parents with young children who are looking to just have a better parenting experience using mindfulness. And you'll hear her say today in the episode, you know, mindfulness is quite a buzzword, and she does really break down what it means to be mindful in her trainings. I am so excited Christine decided to join us today. She was kind enough to share some parenting tips, and I think you will really enjoy this episode. Hi, Christine. How are you?
Great, Shannon. Thanks.
Thank you so much for joining me today. I was so excited when you responded to my plug on asking if anybody was interested. I was so excited when you said yes.
Well, I'm really excited that you're interested.
Good. Well, as I shared earlier, I've known you now for a few years and have been able to call you a colleague for a while. And I remember when I heard you talk a little bit about last spring at a conference that we were at, I really enjoyed what you had to say. And I know you weren't given a super long time to talk. And I knew that you had more really good stuff to talk about. I mean, the journey as a parent is definitely not one we're given a lot of direction or guidance for. Most important job we'll ever do that doesn't come with a roadmap.
Yes.
So I'm so glad that you're here to talk about your experience in developing your mindful parenting program, and I'm excited to learn more about what this is all about that you're doing.
Yeah, I am. It's funny, as you were talking, I was just imagining this big like ocean, right, that just goes on and on forever, and I feel like that's the like what the resources for parenting are like. There's so many. I mean, if you walked into a bookstore and looked at all the parenting books, you'd be so overwhelmed, you wouldn't be able to select one, right? And that's just a physical hard copy book. We're not talking about Google searching or all the parenting blogs that we can read. And actually, that was part of my struggle. And once I identified that parenting mindfully was a challenge for me, or not even just mindfully, because that's a real buzzword, but parenting Sure. in the way that I wanted to parent my children was not happening. And I just could not I couldn't get through this like sea, this ocean of resources that overwhelmed me, that made me feel judged as a parent, that made me feel a lot of guilt and shame that I wasn't able to do it perfectly. And that's why my husband was like, you should take everything you've learned and build it into a class so that other parents can just have these resources and then also have you like relieve that guilt and shame. And so that's actually a big part of mindfulness, right? Is letting go of those voices inside ourselves that are, you know, are telling us we have to be the perfect parent and do everything, quote unquote, right all the time.
Right. Well, and I have to commend you and even, you know, just admitting that you didn't feel like you were parenting the way you wanted to, because I think so many people can relate to that. And in my experience, in like all things parent, including sleep stuff, right? It's like, it isn't always accepted to admit you don't have it all figured out, you know?
No. And also, I mean, you know, this as a sleep person, that when our clients come to us, they may not admit it at the beginning. Some of them are very forthcoming, right? I'm a terrible mom. I'm totally impatient. I bedtime is awful for me because I am immediately frustrated with my child who's overtired. And then, you know, they may be able to admit that up front. If not, though, I often hear it later. Like, I had no idea how impatient and overwhelmed and guilty I was feeling. And so those are things that actually come up in my work a lot. I've been really, you know, working with those feelings and parents over and over again. And that, Shannon, made it easier for me to be open and honest, because I realized if I was able to be really vulnerable about my own experience, yelling at my kids and slamming doors, then other parents who were like, I do that too. And I know that it's like normal to be triggered as a parent, but I also know it's not helpful. I don't want, and it doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel good to scare my kids, and it doesn't feel good to lose control.
Right. Do you feel like there was I'm sure there were maybe a few moments you could identify that has kind of led you down this journey, but do you feel like there's something that was in particular that was bigger that kind of led you down this path?
Yeah, I like an incident that occurred with my children or something.
Yes.
I wish I could say there was just one, but honestly, it was like the cumulative effect of every single morning being late, right? And the stress of you feeling like you're late just means that trickles down to your kids and they respond with a little mini tantrum. And I mean, if I could count the mornings that I had to drag one or both of my children to the car kicking and screaming and then dump all their clothing and shoes and random socks and their lunch, you know, pails and their jackets and their gloves in on top of them and slam the doors while they were, you know, kicking and screaming and crying. And then we drive off to school and I'm in tears by the time I drop them off. Cause this is not the like Zen hug and kiss goodbye, have a great day that you imagine yourself having with your kids. And so it really was just like the over and over and over effect of that happening again and again. And you know, that also something similar is unfolding at bedtime and something similar is unfolding at mealtimes and something similar is unfolding when it's time to go potty, right? All of these little things. And it was basically just me telling my husband, I can't do it anymore. I don't know. I don't know what needs to change. I can't do it anymore. But the really sad thing, Shannon, is that from the moment I said I can't do it anymore, I'm going to change and be a better mom, took years. Heartbreaking years of me reading books about how important it is to be compassionate, to be peaceful, to be patient, and how that literally affects your attachment with your children. And yet I still couldn't integrate it into my parenting because of my own personal triggers and because of our own learning and experiences and how we are integrating our own shame and perfectionism. That affects our ability to change, to accept change.
For sure. Yeah. Well, and you hit that right on the head as adults. You know, I mean, the funny comment is change is the only thing that's constant, which is so true. It should also be followed by it's also the hardest thing you'll ever have to do.
Yes.
Yeah, because it definitely is the case. So this is what got you kind of moving down this path. And you mentioned that, you know, it's been over the course of a few years that you have been learning and then implementing these your own changes and practices in your home. So what are some things that you feel like you have seen as results of that with your own kids?
Yeah, great question. I've noticed changes not just with my kids, but also with my partnership. My mm-hmm. husband and I interact very differently with each other and with our kids because there's just a lot more calm. There's a lot more space. So now I'm going to get into the like woo-woo mindful words. Because what I realized was that I'm a yoga instructor. I was a yoga instructor before I was a sleep specialist. And it's part of my like background and training, but I use a lot of my mindful philosophies and, or even just languaging, how I speak to people compassionately and things like that in my work. But the problem with parenting was that I felt like I would like roll up my mat and I would just have this like peaceful meditation. But then the minute I rolled up my mat, I just went right back to the lists of things to do and the overwhelm and the urgency to get it done. And that incorporating the spaciousness, I'm going to step back. I'm going to give myself space before I react has changed everything. But that's really hard to do. That takes a lot of practice. But again, we come back to that yoga or that mindfulness, right? That it is a practice. It's not anything you'll ever perfect because there are going to be moments you can't have space for yourself or kindness or all the other things. But it was the beginning of in all situations that were challenging for me mm-hmm. to take a breath or five and start listening, right? So in mindful parenting, one of the acronyms you run into is you search the web is stop. And so just stopping, and then the T would be to take a breath, and then the uh-huh. O would be to observe. So do you just observe what's going on with your body, right? Are you clenching your teeth? Are you balling up your fists? Are you squinting your eyes shut? What's going, are you holding your breath? You observe. And then you might observe what's in your mind. What's the thought loop that's going on, right? And right. I mean, in my mind, my thought loop was, I don't need this right now. You kids are being completely unreasonable. You know, can you just pull it together? Honestly, I told my kid, my like, you know, 4-year-old and 2-year-old to pull it together.
Right.
As if that was possible for them.
Right.
And so that's really great to be able to, instead of talking or saying anything that like the first reaction that comes to mind, you stop. And then the P in stop is to proceed. So you proceed forward with a thoughtful comment, right? That is honestly, Shannon, usually a question for me. So instead of like demanding or commanding or telling my kids what to do, I now am able to sort of take a deep breath and usually come back with a question. So sometimes that question might be, hey, kiddos, what do we need to get focused on right now? Because I'm standing by the door with my backpack and my coat on and I'm ready to go. I'm like jangling the keys. What do we need to get focused on right now? And that's great, right? Because they're like, oh, we're not being yelled at, but we're being asked to refocus our attention. And then they can come over and I'll help them get their shoes on. So just creating space has been amazing, but dropping the stress level around all of these mealtimes and bedtimes, et cetera, actually means that in the future, problem solving is a lot easier and there are fewer tantrums happening. There's a lot less testing behaviors I've found because my kids don't need to test my reaction all the time, right? Is she going to blow her top? I don't know. Let's see. And there was a lot of that going on, right? Like, how hard, how far do we have to push mom before she loses her mind and either gives us a timeout or takes a timeout herself? So there's a lot less testing behavior just because they feel more secure. They also feel like they have a lot more control. And that's one of the best things about mindful parenting is that you're really empowering your child to have a lot of control. And they want to be in control. As you know from working with toddlers and sleep, right? They want to be able to help put their pajamas on and turn out the light at night and things like that. So it's interesting that in some ways I'm really just taking a lot of my like empowering kids in my toddler sleep plan, I've literally just applied it to mindful parenting in other ways, right? How can we create a plan for your child so that they feel more autonomy? Because most times young children are pushing back against parents because they either need to have a greater connection with you meaningfully and emotionally, and or it can be both, they need more autonomy.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really confusing for parents, right? Do I give them autonomy or do I pull them in for a hug? And and actually sometimes it needs to be both, but that's hard. Mm-hmm. That's confusing.
Right. Well, and then an added layer to that is, you know, if you have multiple children, their needs are also going to be different. And I know as a mother myself, I have two kids and their parenting needs are different and just their overall needs. And I, you know, I can't tell you that I think it's just because they're obviously two different little people, but I don't know if it's because they're girl and boy as well, that they're, you know, as different as they are, but the way that we approach our daughter is different than the way that we approach our son. And that wasn't like we just like woke up one day and said, oh, like we had it all figured out. It was after like many failed attempts at trying to parent our son, our second, the same way we parented our daughter, and realizing, yeah, that's not working.
Yeah.
So I mean, as you say that with, you know, autonomy or connection, and then also being able to identify. And then I think the other big thing for me that I still have to work through, and I know my husband does too, is like being okay with the fact that it needs to look different, right? Like, our kids do have different needs, and that's okay and normal.
Yeah, well, being okay with anything as a parent is really challenging. I mean, being okay with crying, being okay with your kid losing it in the grocery store and having a tantrum. I mean, your first instinct is to be like, pull yourself together. What you need to do is take a step back and just like take a deep breath and be okay with all the big emotions. And that has been the number one difficult challenge in my work with mindful parenting. My husband did a great job with this. For some reason, he was less bothered by their outbursts. I think he really wanted to like all of us sort of have control over the situation. But as he started, you know, practicing mindful parenting as well, he was really good at just accepting these things in and really helping them process them quickly. And I wasn't. I really struggled for months and months to just welcome those big emotions, to get closer to them instead of wanting to like recoil from them. And to accept them and validate them instead of question or want to change them. And so, yeah, whatever you're experiencing with your two very different individuals and how they work in the world and the responses and reactions they have to their own challenges and disappointments and frustrations and judgments, that's going to be different. Right? How they display that is going to be different, but also what they want and need to like repair and integrate and connect with you is going to be different too. And I'm actually thankful for that. I really love that my two kids need and want very different things. My youngest repairs very quickly. I mean, she can fall over the edge and have a massive tantrum. And then literally 30 seconds, the sun comes out and rainbows are shimmering and you like everything's okay. Right. And you're still having this, like, you know, this adrenaline response, from it all. But I've learned, you know what, this is a big emotion moment for my little one and it's going to be okay in just a moment. And then, and then my oldest, it takes a lot longer, and it might be that sort of the whole day there's a cloud hanging over, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I can definitely see how that would be the case. In thinking of, you know, obviously we work with a lot of parents with young kids, and I was actually talking with another colleague the other day and saying, you know, in many cases we can be on the journey with our clients in sort of their first decision making as a parent with sleep, right? Like, okay, how this isn't working, so what do I want to do to change that? And up to that point, maybe there was not a lot of like decision making that the parents had to make. You know, it was just pretty natural. I need to care for my baby or my young child.
Right.
And so then taking it even a step further as they become toddlers, I'm guessing, is that the typical, what's the age group usually that you're seeing with the people you're working with mindful parenting?
Well, I mean, honestly, I think I was triggered. I had like a parenting, you know, a moment when my child first looked at me. Gosh, she was probably 14 months old, right? And just looked me straight in the eye and said no for the first time. I mean,
right,
it's not old, very old for some kids when they start needing more autonomy and they want to do it myself was a big thing with my first and my second. We have very independent kiddos. Honestly, I think all kids are. But for me, it was really tough to know what to hand over control over and what that I needed to continue to micromanage. And to tell you honestly, I really try to let my kiddos do as much as they possibly can on their own. We're even working on mindful eating right now, Shannon, and that's been a huge shift for me because I'm a total food micromanager. And to free that up has been amazing. That's a whole nother podcast, but
I would love to learn more.
Yes, they're so proud of their own autonomy and they actually do really well. And what was missing was my trust in them.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, to tell you the truth, this has revolutionized how I work with even my tiny baby clients. And I can be starting with a 4-month-old. And when the subject of crying comes up, I do a little bit of mindful or even respectful parenting education. This is a big emotion. We don't know necessarily why your child is expressing, but what would happen if you just took a step back and listened instead of trying the pacifier, changing the diaper, just offering a feeding or doing all the going, you know, shaking, rocking, bouncing, strollering. Like what if you just paused and you did the stop? Right? You listened, you checked in, you just allowed them to express what's ever going on for them before you go in and react. And we talk a little bit about what you might want to listen for before you react. And some parents, they are shocked at how easily their child can self-soothe if they just trust and take a deep breath and say like, I knew they could do it. I could just hear. If I stopped and listened for even 2 or 3 minutes, I could just hear they were going to do it. And then another day, I went in because I heard straight up, this was not the situation in which my child was going to be able to calm their own nervous system and they needed help. So I do a little bit of training with them on that. And just starting at that age with accepting those big emotions, validating them, being present and supportive for them, but not trying to quote unquote fix everything, right?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. So it sounds like then any age group, does this go all the way up to like preteen, teenage years too, would you say?
Yes. Now my class is not geared for that. My class is really geared for toddlers. I developed my class to help work with my toddler parents, to give them an additional resource and my friends, right? I mean, I felt like I was in this friend group of people where we were just really hard on ourselves and complaining about our kids a lot, right? And, and so I developed this for them and in the works, I really hope to develop sometime in the spring, a teens version. I used to teach high school. So, I really feel a really strong connection with the junior high and high school age and that discovery and development. And again, having an adult trust you to take care of yourself, even your intellectual well-being, not just your physical well-being. And so I would love to be able to do this with older kids. At this point, what I'm recommending for big kids is a growth mindset angle. Mm-hmm. That is so great for helping kids to let go of some guilt, shame, and judgment, and really working on identifying healthy boundaries and their own hopes and dreams and goals. So I direct people to Big Life Journal, which is a journaling process that kids can use. But Big Life Journal also has a podcast that's really great for talking about growth mindset in a way that grade school age kids is what I'm guessing it's geared at. Although I love the podcasts myself. It's for helping kids identify growth mindset situations. And that's awesome. But the resources are really, really amazing. They're set up for teachers to use in their classroom. So if there's any teachers listening today, I recommend checking out Big Life Journal for kids basically age 7 and up is the resources are geared for that. So when parents have older kids and they're struggling, there's some mindfulness tools we can use right away. But I really send them to Big Life Journal because I want kids to be able to start this process on their own and not just have it be a parent down, like forced right. on them, right? I want sure. Once kids open that journal and start diving in, it's all their journey.
Yeah, I love it. I just wrote it down. I will definitely be checking it out. That is my wheelhouse right now with the ages of my kids. Moving into the class that you created, I want to give you a chance to talk a little bit about that. So tell us a little about what your mindful parenting course looks like.
Yeah, it's a 5-week class. And I really struggled with the idea, do I roll these 5 weeks out self-paced? Or do I release a new class each week? And I decided to release a new class each week. And that's definitely the way to go. The feedback I've gotten has basically been like, I can only handle one class a week. And there's so much work for me to do in just noticing how I'm doing in applying the skills from each week, that is really helpful. So it's a 5-week investment of time, but I tell parents your learning will never stop. You'll always in relationship with your child and with your partner, you'll always be incorporating these mindfulness principles. So the first week is just a lot of talking about what is mindfulness, right? It's this big buzzword, but how does it actually work in our lives? What does it look like? And what does it look like with parenting, right? And, and we talk a lot about parenting triggers, and I have parents spend a lot of time, that week before we jump into the next week's lesson, just thinking about, okay, what was it that triggered me there? And then we talk about in the second week, how messy parenthood is, right? That if you're expecting something clean and neat and perfect, then a reframing is going to be really important for you because the disappointment and the overwhelm and the shame you're going to feel about your parenting experience is really going to dampen the joy that you're able to feel with your kids because it's messy.
Yes, for sure.
And then looking at like, you know, what are your triggers for that you're seeing for kids, right? What are things that you're doing or saying that might be sending your kids into a tantrum or into a mode where they need to push back against you and they want control? And just I help those first 2 weeks are game changers. And then we talk a lot about connection, how to increase connection in week 3, and week 4 we address problem solving. So different ways to pose questions and observations instead of like demands or asks for kids, because they just want to play, right? They like an ask for them is actually really hard. And so part of the mindful parenting class is how to make these asks fun. So they don't seem like demands, right? And that is also a really, being more silly with your kids is a really great way to be more mindful. And that's something that like the adult mindfulness industry doesn't touch on very much, but it's the joy of most parents that you realize, I'm so grateful that my child is helping me be more mindful of like the beautiful day and these fall leaves. And, you know, there's all sorts of things that kids help us to just take a break from our list of things to do and become more mindful. And so how can we like celebrate that and expand it even more?
Right. That, yeah, it sounds like a, it sounds like an amazing class. I want to sign up. And so how long, what's your format and how you're teaching these? Is it right. like, yeah.
It's actually an all-you-can-eat buffet. So I have some videos where it's me talking with like a PowerPoint presentation, right? So you've got your slides and I'm talking over them. And then there's also just in every unit, so in every module, there's 5 different modules, I have homework. So you've got a handout to print off and some things to notice throughout the week and sort of journal on. And then I have a whole section of further reading where I have articles from other parenting gurus or links to books and things like that so that you can dive in more deeply to some of the subjects that we've touched on. So some of it is sort of lecture style, and some of it is journaling and how much work you kind of want or need to put in during the week. And then I also have a Facebook community. So anybody who purchases the class can join the Facebook community, where you'll also be able to ask questions and just also share tough moments. It's actually been a really awesome place to share some great parenting successes, but it's also been a really, a safe place for parents to share some disappointments or failures and just say, oh my goodness, I'm beating myself up. And I need some other mindful parents to just like get me right now without judgment. And that's actually my favorite thing about this class and this village, is what I call it, Mindful Parenting Village on Facebook, is that you can't do it without support.
Right. That isn't that so true. And so this is something anybody can join, obviously, because it's all online. How often are you offering these classes?
So it happens all the time. It's like you can sign up and do the class and join the Facebook community at any moment in time. I tend to do some pushes where I may get a couple of clients coming to me who really need it. And then I sort of put it out there on my social media. This would be a great time to join. We've got a lot of new parents coming. Jump on board and we can all start together. And that's really fun too. But we all have all these, you know, awesome seasoned parents in there as well. And I also have a group of teachers. So the teachers from my kiddo's school were invited to do it. And so they're applying these mindful principles in their classrooms and connecting better and trying to really figure out what's going on deep underneath the surface for these kiddos, instead of just correcting behaviors in the moment. That's awesome.
Right. That does sound really cool. So where can parents learn more about this?
Right. So I started the class on Teachable. So, so you can find me if you search teachable.com, it's Mindful Parenting Practices is the name of my class for mindful parenting. And my school is called the Adulting Academy. So you can go and find me at Adulting Academy at Teachable, and Mindful Parenting Practices is there. I also have some sleep classes there that I'm just getting rolling as well. And that's been really fun. But the reason I started that account was for mindful parenting, because I see such a deep need for it.
Awesome. So teachable.com, and then they go to the Adulting Academy to...
Yep. To find all of my classes, basically. I think you could also probably Google search Mindful Parenting Practices, Christine Pedersen, and find it. It's also on my website. So I have a mindful parenting section on my sleep website, and you can find it there too. And I'll send you the link so you can include them in the show notes. But yeah, sometimes parents just reach out and send me an email, and some of my clients have become coaching clients as well. They'll enjoy having like every couple of weeks, a little check-in about parenting, and we set goals and help to accomplish them. So there's all different ways for parents to achieve their hopes and dreams around parenting shifts and reframing.
Awesome. Well, I'll definitely put that in the notes so people can find that for sure. And I think it's an amazing resource that you have put together, that we could all benefit from for sure. Yeah.
Well, thanks, Shannon. Thanks for sharing it. And thanks for being open to all of the things. And you are always just such an inspiration to me. I'm so glad that my sleep problems brought me to you so many years ago.
Yeah, I am too. I'm so glad we've connected. And I really appreciate you taking the time to share more on this today, even give a few tips for people to help them. And I hope that they take some time to learn more about what you're offering.
Thank you.
Yeah, have a wonderful rest of your day.
You too, Shannon. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Thank you so much for listening today. Wow, isn't Christine awesome? I want to go sign up for her class. I know she said it is geared toward younger children, but I think even with a 9 and a 13-year-old, there are tips and tools that I could definitely grab. What it really made me just think about is parenting is totally a journey. And as with anything that's a journey, which is life, right? Like it never ends. It's always ongoing and changing, and there's always something to learn to get better and progress forward. So I'm so excited she's doing this and offering mindful parenting. I think it is a resource so many of us could use. So please check her out. The information on how to find more out about her training and her courses is in the notes of this podcast. So please take a look at or take advantage of those resources and services. Please join us next week. I am going to have my final consultant on. Yay, Megan Keevan. I am so excited that she will be coming on and sharing more about her and how amazing she is. I'm so thankful Megan's on our team. We have an awesome team of consultants, and I can't wait for you guys to get to know more and learn more about Megan. Until then, sleep well.